Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nanga Def. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Exciting conversation ready to talk to you about or motivate you to speak about a spiritual perspective on January 6, 2021, 9/11 and Pearl Harbor. Whoa, this comparison, these dates were brought out this week by our vice president, and I believe the president too. I didn't hear his words, but I heard the vice president give a speech about these three dates, and I only heard her speech after the comments were being shown on YouTube. And I'm like, what in the world did she say? I was like, what happened? Because everybody's like crazy, going really confused mode about what the hell is she talking about. So I was like, okay, so let's just talk about it. Let's resolve it. In fact, I had a very heated discussion about this topic with a relative of mine. And I thought, wow, do people really think like that? What is going on? So We want to invite you to become the village as we talk about history tonight. We've got kids in Chicago who are out of school and public school. Most of the private and the charter schools are still operating, but public schools, once again, are in trouble. Now, I grew up in Chicago, and I went to school all the way through high school. So that means, once again, there's confusion and turmoil and disagreement in Chicago. I remember many days that Chicago public schools had to close because the teachers were on strike, even when I was going to school. So we're talking 50 years ago, this was still going on, but we're at such an important transitional time, revolutionary time, where we can change our children's future and create a better education. So we were talking on the Female Solution conference line today about how about we start educating these students. We start educating these students. And we start doing what we can do is teach our children. That means I'm inviting all of you listening tonight to become part of the village in your neighborhood, in your community, so that parents, if this happens in your community, and I only heard of it happening in Chicago right now, but it could happen anywhere because the teachers are fed up. I saw a really interesting video on a public school teacher who resigned from her job because she said teachers are fed up at this point. They're not making enough money, first of all. They're not paying them enough, and that's been going on for a while. I think teachers should be the highest paid employees maybe in the country, because when you think about government employees make more money than the average person living in this country. Government employees who are supposed to be working, and they have opportunities to make millions of dollars if they stay in the government long enough, like Nancy Pelosi and what's her name in California. These people are millionaires by the time they leave the government. There's something wrong with this system. So that brings us to why we're talking about a higher perspective on January 6th, 9/11, and Pearl Harbor. Because what we heard this week was another political statement that brought total confusion to people, especially when it comes to history. So tonight, I am starting the elementary education for our children in Chicago to learn more about both sides, in fact, all three sides of history and current events. Number one, there's always my opinion and your opinion. And then there's the higher opinion. Let me repeat that. When we have any topic that comes up in our society, my understanding, my overstanding, my belief is that there's always at least three opinions on this. And that is mine, yours, and the higher one, the creator, the cosmic energy, the universe, the universe's perspective. So we're going to start out tonight listening to a comment by the Vice President Kamala Harris. Oh, my goodness. She made a comment that just brought all kinds of people out of the woodwork saying, what the hell is she talking about? And what the fuck? Blah, 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 blah. So we're going to listen to that first to give us a foundation for this discussion. And then I have a couple of historical audios on 9/11 January and Pearl Harbor. Because there's three opinions on all of these. Maybe some of you think there's only one. There's only one perspective on Pearl Harbor. The Japanese came over, bombed us, and then we bombed them, and that was the end of it. Nah, there's more to it than that. And then 9/11 is full of mystery and confusion and what people might call conspiracy theories. So let's listen together to Kamala Harris's speech on January 6th this week, and then we'll come back, and I want you to press 1 if you have any comments or thoughts about what she said on January 6th and what she meant by connecting these events to January 6th. Let's listen and comment. Here we go.
Certain dates echo throughout history, including dates that instantly remind all who have lived through them where they were and what they were doing when our democracy came under assault. dates that occupy not only a place on our calendars, but a place in our collective memory. December 7th, 1941, September 11th, 2001,
9/11.
And January 6th, 2021.
January 6th.
On that day, I was not only vice president-elect, I was also a United States senator. And I was here at the Capitol that morning at a classified hearing with fellow members of the Senate Intelligence Committee. Hours later, the gates of the Capitol were breached. I had left, but my thoughts immediately turned not only to my colleagues, but to my staff, who had been forced to seek refuge in our office, converting filing cabinets into barricades. What the extremists who roamed these halls targeted was not only the lives of elected leaders. What they sought to degrade and destroy was not only a building, hallowed as it is. What they were assaulting were the institutions, the values, the ideals that generations of Americans have marched, picketed, and shed blood to establish and defend.
Okay, that those words are just so powerful. Institution, values, defend, extremists, lives under attack, elected leaders. All of that just really stirs up, I think, a lot of emotion in some of us. And then the key phrase that she brought out was attack on our democracy. Democracy under assault. All right, so let's think about that, brothers and sisters. I really want to break this down into three perspectives, yours, mine, and the Most High. Now, if you don't press one, I don't know your perspective. I'll just give you mine and the Most High. But I'd love to hear your perspective on what she just said. I think I need to play that one more time. This time, listen to the key words that stir up not only division, but passion or anger or emotions, that stir up emotions. One more time. It's only a two-minute clip of what she said. I don't even want to play Biden's speech. That's ridiculous. Because what I saw, what I heard of Biden's speech was blame, blame, blame. Blame, 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 blame. That's all we're going to do here from this administration, a bunch of narcissistic, egomaniacs blaming everybody for everything that happens. But let's just listen carefully to the words that Kamala Vice President spoke on this week that just brought such non-unity, more division and more blame and fear and emotional stirring up. Let's listen.
Certain dates echo throughout history, including dates that instantly remind all who have lived through them where they were and what they were doing when our democracy came under assault. Dates that occupy not only a place on our calendars, but a place in our collective memory. December 7th, 1941, September 11th, 2001, and January 6, 2021. On that day, I was not only vice president-elect, I was also a United States senator. And I was here at the Capitol that morning at a classified hearing with fellow members of the Senate Intelligence Committee. Hours later, the gates of the Capitol were breached. I had left, but my thoughts immediately turned not only to my colleagues, but to my staff, who had been forced to seek refuge in our office, converting filing cabinets into barricades. What the extremists who roamed these halls targeted was not only the lives of elected leaders. What they sought to degrade and destroy was not only a building, hallowed as it is. What they were assaulting were the institutions, the values, the ideals that generations of Americans have marched, picketed, and shed blood to establish and defend.
I hope you got all those key words that trigger emotions and division. So once I heard her say democracy under assault, I couldn't help but think about my Black Panther days. I was just such a radical, wearing my big fro and selling Black Panther papers and promoting truth. And somehow what Kamala Harris said does not ring of a full truth in my mind. So one of the things she said were the extremists. The word extremist was like, what? Extremist? Because on January 5th, I was very busy email or social media communication with brothers and sisters who were like, this is, we've had enough. Something needs to happen, blah, 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 blah. And so I look at, first of all, not extremists, but United States citizens. Most of the people who decided to, number one, maybe go to a rally for Trump and then later march over to the Capitol. In fact, many of the people were already at the Capitol when the rally was going on. So the events are all being exaggerated, in my opinion. But the idea that these people, these human souls who were at the Capitol that day were extremists is like a half-truth. I mean, when you're going to compare it to 9/11 and Pearl Harbor, these were United States citizens who were exercising, number one, their right to protest. Now, as we look back on that day and as we see the reports that have come out and the videos that have come out, we had a lot of cooperation with the men who were stationed in that building, ushering people into the building. The video show that many people were welcomed into that building, and some of the people stayed out, some of the people went in and acted radical and crazy. And how many people died? That was the question I had. With all the democracy under assault and the gates were breached, and blood was shed in the past by people who were protecting this Capitol, and the extremists marched on there, and lives were under were threatened. I don't know of any person who went in there with weapons other than maybe sticks or whatever. I don't even think they were that. But one person was killed. A United States veteran was killed by a security guard. No one seems to understand why that happened. It wasn't like he was protecting himself because they had a gun, but only one, maybe two people, maybe three, and maybe there were some we didn't hear about that died on that day, January 6th, versus 2,400 people died in Pearl Harbor, versus 9/11, where I think the numbers are in the 6,000. But the whole point of this political gesture by Vice President Kamala was to stir up emotions, in my opinion, and hallowed building, assault on the institution where values, there was an assault on the institution and the values of people who occupied that building. Ah, I want to talk about this. This is just so important to talk about. Because democracy under assault is, yes, there's half-truth in that. The people, the United States citizens who were present on January 6th, the city, remember, keep that in mind, most of the people I would guess and state were citizens of America versus 9/11 and Pearl Harbor, where the enemy came in and killed 2,400 citizens at Pearl Harbor and thousands of citizens in New York. But remember, the focus of this administration was not to compare how many people died. No, no, no. This speech that Ms. Harris gave was not about deaths. It was about the assault on democracy and the values and the institution that they represent, not the people. And I think that this is my perspective on January 6th, and what she's saying is a terrible day to be compared to 2,400 people who died one time and 6,000. No, this is assault on the values of the men and women who were in that building supposedly working for the people of America. But let me remind you, there are millionaires in there. They got rich telling lies and passing laws that benefited them, not the American people. That's my perspective. Now, we're going to have a spiritual perspective as we go, because I didn't see these people on January 6th as extremists, but I saw them as angry citizens, unhappy citizens, dissatisfied citizens, all kinds of descriptions, and maybe extremists, because I wouldn't have been there. I would have been there if I had more courage, and because I was in that period last year. I think a lot of us were just totally upset that the election was turned out the way it turned out, and many of us did not want it to turn out that way. So let me go to the phones. I see someone has raised their hand. I want your we need three perspectives tonight. I've just given you mine, and I'm going to give you historically what they say happened versus other points of view on 9/11 and Pearl Harbor. So you have a rounded point of view. And then near the end, we're going to get the whole overstanding of all of this, why this has all been happening in our historical viewpoint, her story, history, the creator's viewpoint on what the heck is going on, not only in since 9/11 and Pearl Harbor, but January 6th and today. We're going to bring it all together with your help. Call in, comment, what's your perspective on all these events, how they're connected or whatever. So let's go to the phones, 708-602. Your mic is open.
Greetings, family. Can you hear me?
Yes. We've got Brother Eddie Harris. How are you today, this evening?
I'm doing great. What about yourself?
Doing good. It's kind of warm here in Florida, but I'm not complaining.
Yeah, I don't want to hear that. We're freezing here in Chicago, so you want to tell me about the heat. Hey, but I'm with you on that.
Come on down. You're always welcome in Florida.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, interesting. I'm not going to get deep into what I happen to be writing down dealing with 9/11, but the only comparison that I see that she was trying to make, and she did a bad job of it, is, as you were stipulating, trying to connect Pearl Harbor, 9/11, and this so-called insurrection on democracy or the White House. Because,
right,
again, these were people wanting to voice their opinion on the so-called standards and values in democracy, because it's a hypocrisy. We all know the hypocrites, as you said, these millionaires who are working for themselves, not the people.
Mm-hmm.
So we can get into detail, but it's not even necessary, because, again, these were just citizens, again, as you stated, you know, basically upset,
yeah,
at what is still going on, you know.
Right.
Because
right.
What she said to me is no more than a distraction, again, because it makes no sense to anything that what happened a year ago and these dates that she's trying to connect to right now. As you said, not even the body count, because the last tally that I heard about this insurrection of people who came up dead was 5. Mysteriously,
okay.
5.
Mm-hmm.
And you had mentioned 50 years ago when you was back on the scene with the Panthers. So that 5 is always prevalent, because this is, again, what they're doing. So, basically, with that, it's just no more than a diversion. to keep us distracted from what we should be talking about and discussing. When you say it again, the spiritual information that we're getting more than this nonsense that we're giving energy to even discussing. So with that, peace and love. I'll chime in, you know, again a little bit later.
And I want to just commend you or thank you for bringing up the hypocrisy and this distraction, because over the last 2 years, who's made the most money off this Corona Twilight Zone adventure we've been in? Who's made the most money? I heard that the trading, stock trading, has been active in Congress just as much as in the private sector during this whole corona madness. So when we look at the hypocrisy of her standing there and saying, oh, the values of this institution that we should be defending were upset. And who made the most, when we look deeper, as we're going to do with 9/11 and Pearl Harbor, we realize how crooked and how evil and how deceptive, like you said, and hypocrisy is just rampant in our government, that they can even come out and make such a speech, to me is like blows my mind. When they made, so over the last 2 years with this madness we're in, they made more money than some of the people in the private sector because they had inside trading. Are you familiar with that, or am I off base on that, do you think?
Not at all, no. Most, like you say, if we took time to just follow the money, we'll see all of these people are connected to some pharmaceutical, some medical organization that they're lobbying for, because again, one hand washes the other. So as they make laws pertinent to protect these crooks, criminals, you know, they're getting paid because they're investors, they're stockholders. You know, this is why they all, the good old boys, sit around the table and they plot and plan on how to make more money.
Right.
And how to use the people.
So my perspective and my reply to Kamala is, you're damn right we were assaulting your democracy, your false hypocritical democracy, making more money off the people, hiding in your little offices and pretending like you're working hard for the people and protecting the values and the institution. And I say BS. So you're right, Kamala. You're a hypocrite. That's what she stood for this week, a big hypocrite like all the rest of them in Washington. So thank you, Brother Eddie Harris, once again for bringing the higher perspective. Now, we're looking for more of you to bring your perspective. This is just my radical Black Panther history perspective, where I've always been watching the hypocrites and trying not to be one too much. So we want to go into, as I said, in Chicago, the children are out of school. And we had a discussion earlier that we got to become the village and teach these children what the public schools has not been teaching them, irrelevant bullshit in the public schools that they have come out. They need to be learning how to fix cars, how to fix things, how to cook, how to do a whole lot of things they're not learning how to do. And they need to learn about history that is not being taught in the school. So I'm going to play a little history on, 9/11, which one? Yeah, on 9/11, what happened on 9/11? Or should we go? No, let's go back to Pearl Harbor. Why, some of you don't know, why did Japan attack Pearl Harbor? Let's start there, because there's a lot of ignorance, and even in the adults. But we're bringing out elementary education for the students in Chicago who are out of school. We want to teach you some history you don't hear about, you didn't know about. Why did Japan attack Pearl Harbor? That question came up in my discussion earlier. So let's talk.
On the 26th of November, 1941, a Japanese attack fleet consisting of 6 aircraft carriers, 2 battleships, and hundreds of aircraft departed from Japan and began the long journey to an assembly point 230 miles north of the Hawaiian island of Oahu. Their target, the U.S. Pacific Fleet, anchored at Pearl Harbor. Scheduled for the 7th of December, the attack would take the Americans by complete surprise, paralyzing their fleet for months and costing thousands of lives. However, the attack would also change the course of the Second World War and spell ultimate doom for Imperial Japan. So why did the Japanese attack Pearl Harbor in the first place? And how did Japanese miscalculation in planning the attack doom them to defeat in the Second World War? Well, to answer that question, we first need to go back to the 1930s.
So Japan has spent much of the early 20th century modernizing its economy and its military. So basically they wanted to build an empire, sort of like that of Great Britain and the United States. And from that they could extract natural resources, exploit labor, and build new trade routes, and become one of the world's great powers.
But while Japan had big ambitions, there was one huge problem. The Japanese mainland did not have the natural resources required to build that empire. Japan needed to get its hands on more coal, iron, and in particular, oil, to make its ambitions a reality. It was 1931 when Japan took its first major step towards empire building, invading the Chinese province of Manchuria. Now, Manchuria had many of the resources that Japan needed and gave them a firmer foothold on the Asian continent for future advances. Over the next few years, Japan poked and prodded its way further into northern China before all-out war broke out between the two in July 1937. First, things went very well for the Japanese. They won victory after victory, all the while carrying out major atrocities like the rape of Nanking and the terror bombing of Chinese civilians, which drew widespread international condemnation. By 1939, though, the war had descended into a stalemate, and as the Chinese grew in strength, the war became a serious drain on Japanese manpower and supplies. To win, they would have to look elsewhere for the resources they needed. Meanwhile, across the Pacific, the US was looking on with mounting concern.
After the USA's participation in the First World War, they start to adopt a unofficial policy of non-interventionism and isolationism. So this basically means that they won't go to war for their allies or even get into alliances in the first place, and they won't even provide aid either. And this actually starts to become official policy in the mid-1930s when the U.S. Congress starts to pass a series of neutrality acts. But as Congress was passing these acts, the world around the U.S. was getting a lot more violent and unstable.
So though America had begun the 1930s as a bastion of isolationism, the outbreak of war in Europe, as well as Japanese atrocities in China, brought a gradual shift in public opinion back towards interventionism. That allowed U.S. President Franklin D. Roosevelt to sign a new Neutrality Act into law in 1939, which permitted the U.S. to supply arms to Britain and France if they paid for and picked it up in their own ships. This would later be followed up by the far more sweeping Lend-Lease in 1941, which included China and the Soviet Union and asked for no payment in return. So although the US was still technically neutral, it was very clear whose side they were on, and for Japan, that was a huge problem.
So the biggest resource that Japan needs at this point is oil. In 1939, all but 6% of its oil supply was imported, with roughly 80% coming from the United States alone. Running out of oil would basically spell doom for their military campaign in China, as well as their other territorial ambitions. There were also a host of other natural resources that Japan needed but could only get through imports, and that included scrap metal, coal, iron, all things that are vital to their war effort, and actually a lot of this stuff also comes from the United States.
To get those resources and grow its empire, Japan had a choice to make between what became known as the Northern and Southern strategies. The Northern strategy was backed by the Imperial Japanese Army and involved taking the oil, coal, and iron-rich areas in China, Mongolia, and Siberia. The Southern strategy, on the other hand, was backed by the Imperial Japanese Navy and instead involved striking south into British Malaya and the Dutch East Indies, similarly rich in oil and rubber. By the mid-1930s, the Northern plan was already in full swing with attacks in Manchuria and China, and this had led to border disputes with the Soviets. These culminated in the huge Battle of Khalkhin Gol, in which the Soviet-Mongolian forces won a major victory. Suddenly, Japan had to reconsider its plans.
So Japan's defeat at Khalkhin Gol basically pours cold water on their plans for northward expansion into Siberia, as does the signing of a non-aggression pact between the Soviet Union and Germany in August 1939. When Germany invades the Soviet Union during Operation Barbarossa in June 1941, these plans for an invasion of Siberia are briefly reconsidered, but Japan is bogged down in China. They're running out of natural resources and, you know, it just doesn't happen.
With the army bogged down in China, it was the Navy who took up the mantle as Japan focused on its southern strategy instead. This began in earnest in 1940 when, in order to cut a key Chinese supply route, Japan entered the northern parts of French Indochina in an agreement with the Vichy French government. This worked in isolating the Chinese, but the US saw it as yet another act of Japanese aggression that threatened US interests in the Pacific. Coupled with Japan's recent alliance with Nazi Germany and Italy, the US responded by imposing an embargo on iron, steel, and copper, all of which were essential to Japan's war industries and which were largely imported from the US. But the Japanese did not learn their lesson and occupied even more of French Indochina in July 1941 as a launch point for invasions further south. This time, the Americans responded even more forcefully.
So this time, the US responds by freezing all of Japan's assets in the United States, and this prevents Japan from purchasing oil. And right after this, this is followed up by Britain and the Netherlands, who control the Dutch East Indies, imposing oil embargoes of their own. So in one fell swoop, Japan loses 94% of its oil supply.
Japan was in a crisis. They first attempted to negotiate with the US, who demanded their immediate withdrawal from China and the Tripartite Pact. But for Japan, accepting those demands was akin to complete defeat. Unwilling to give up their imperial ambitions, the Japanese felt their only option was to seize the natural resources they needed by force. That meant striking further south into British Malaya and the Dutch East Indies, who were both friendly with the US. Japan believed that this time, the US would almost certainly respond to their invasion with force of their own. The Japanese decided then that they had to blunt that US response by attacking the US Pacific Fleet at anchor at Pearl Harbor, in Hawaii.
By attacking Pearl Harbor, Japan believed that it could severely cripple the U.S. fleet and buy them time in the Pacific and Southeast Asia. So not only would they be able to launch their attacks without interference from the U.S., they would also have time to dig in defensively and consolidate their gains. So this is a really...
So we're going to pause that audio history on Pearl Harbor. And now, my perspective, again, is that you've got a bunch of war-crazy men, patriarchal system at work here, if you were listening to that. I'm not going to play any more of that. It's a, let's see, 13-minute or so video, audio, but we're going to stop it halfway and go to our break. It gets kind of boring after a while. Men and their big egos playing war games. And I hope you heard the mention of oil. Japan had this need or desire or greed for oil. It's like the G-O-D. We are worshiping gold, oil, and drugs in the planet Earth. Many minds, many male egos. And as they tell this story about Pearl Harbor, to me it's a game of military maneuvering and military egomaniac minds, who is more powerful, building an empire. Japan's trying to build an empire, and boom, they're going to drop bombs and kill people. Ah, and now go back to January 6th last year. What was the intention of the United States citizens of America marching, protesting at the Capitol? They wanted to drop bombs and kill people. Nah, I don't think so. But they definitely wanted to stir up some action in the Capitol to get the hypocrites and all the other people stirred up to understand what the heck is going on in this so-called government and to build some power by the U.S. citizens who felt powerless. So let's just make that comparison when we get back. because we're going to give you another side of Pearl Harbor that people don't know. Because that audio actually gives you the impression that it was all the Japanese and the U.S. was just innocent bystanders. And once again, there's always a conspiracy theory behind all these stories. And then you come to your own conclusion. But it pays to hear the full story. And then you make your own decision. And then the Most High, again, allows events to happen so that we can see the evil and change. That's what that assault on the Capitol was all about, a desire for change. Get rid of the hypocrites, the millionaires in the building, and swipe them out. No, I don't think anyone went in there with the intention to kill or destroy. It got totally out of hand, that's for sure. But we think maybe some people allowed it to get out of hand for a political purpose. So I'm going to go ahead and open up the mic of our executive producer, Naima Latif, is going to take us to the break. Think about what is it that we need to change from the events of this week and history. Why do we need to be more in touch with the creator of the universe and not the G-O-D of this earth that promotes and worships gold, oil, and drugs? Naima Latif, thank you for bringing us a commercial.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
On what Vice President Kamala Harris spoke this week about January 6, 2021 and what happened and why it happened. And we want three perspectives, mine, yours, and the Most High. We're going to always be bringing in the Creator's perspective because Soul Purpose Healing is all about bringing us back into alignment with the Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. And we just heard a historical perspective on Pearl Harbor, and it really outlined or highlighted the Japanese trying to build an empire. Those male Japan spirits, human vessels trying to build an empire, got to build an empire. So they decided, made decisions that they're going to get some planes running and go over to Hawaii and bomb Oahu, the island of Oahu, where 2,400 souls left their bodies and gave us a picture and history that we're now talking about today of egos and war and military and money, 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 and all the things that created that history, her story about Pearl Harbor in Hawaii, the islands of Hawaii. To me, it's all about egos just gone mad, gone crazy. And then you have this female, just hurts my heart sometimes. This female comes on January 6, 2022, talking about an assault on the institution and the values that we have defended with blood in the White House and on the Capitol. We're defending the hypocrisy of these people in Washington getting rich off of the people, distracting us, and making more money in the last 2 years than the average citizen because of the conspiracy with the pharmaceutical industry. So let's get real tonight and talk about Pearl Harbor has some secrets that we never heard about. Like we want to hear about some of the secrets behind that history because you heard one side before the break. We heard the side about Pearl Japanese empire building and how they hated Americans and they wanted to kill us so they could build their empire. And they managed to create some damage with 2,400 or more people. Souls, let's look at them as souls. The Creator looks at those 2,400 souls that exited their body because of the empire mind of Japan. But what was going on in the Estados Unidos, United States? There were military minds here too. We call it the military industrial complex. Way back, I think in Eisenhower's time, he warned us about this military industrial complex. Men trying to build an empire, if you will, in the United States from the military. So here's some secrets about Pearl Harbor. We want all the children out of school in Chicago, pull up your chairs, and hear some history that you don't hear about.
2 years into World War II, Britain stood alone against Nazi Germany. The one ally it needed, the USA, was determined to avoid war. On the 7th of December 1941, a surprise Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor changed all that.
It was a stunning military attack, almost perfectly executed. And they catch the Americans asleep.
More than 2,400 lives were lost and 19 ships destroyed or damaged. And the course of history changed forever. But how was the world's most powerful nation caught by surprise? Blame was pinned on the commander of the U.S. Pacific Fleet.
My grandfather became a broken man. He could not figure out what he had done wrong. How could this have happened?
But to this day, questions remain about what really took place. Rumors persist that Churchill and Roosevelt conspired to bring America into the war.
Roosevelt wanted to help Great Britain. They said that he got us into this war because he let Pearl Harbor happen.
Now, new research has revealed what Washington knew before the attack and uncovered a crucial dossier that could have prevented Pearl Harbor.
The report included a map. There is absolutely no indication that that map ever went anywhere. It stayed in the Office of Naval Intelligence until it was found by us 75 years after the fact.
In 1941, Oahu in Hawaii was home to the headquarters of the United States Pacific Fleet, anchored in Pearl Harbor. Four aircraft carriers, nine battleships, and 40 destroyers stood in the way of Japan's growing empire.
Everybody in the United States knows that a war is coming with Japan. And a war in the Pacific is going to be dominated by the Navy. So, you know, whoever's in charge of the U.S. Pacific Fleet is going to be the main player.
Commander-in-Chief of the Pacific Fleet was the highly respected Admiral H. Kimmel.
Having been myself the former Commander-in-Chief of the Pacific Fleet, there's no question in my mind. Admiral Kimmel was certainly one of the top leaders in the Navy at that time.
Kimmel was the personal choice of President Roosevelt to defend the Pacific, calling him one of the greatest naval strategists of our time. But on the morning of Pearl Harbor, he was completely unaware of the impending aerial attack.
That morning, a Sunday morning, 7:30, dawn, things were very normal in Pearl. Men going about their business, the raising of the colors was about to happen.
Just minutes before 8 a.m., aircraft appear over different parts of Oahu. And at first, there's confusion about who they are. At the same time, Kimmel is leaving his quarters. He hears the aircraft.
I must have realized straight away, this is the real thing. Torpedoes start to burst in the battleship row. Battleships are exploding. Bombs are hitting the barracks. The aircraft are being destroyed on the ground. You've got flames, you've got carnage, you've got blood. It's a day that no one foresaw.
It was a stunning military attack, almost perfectly executed.
Kimmel's getting report after report after report. The Arizona, the California, the Nevada, defenseless Navy seamen being cut down.
Admiral!
A bullet A spent bullet, right at the end of its flight, shatters the window and strikes him in the left side of the chest. Crushes his spectacle case. And he says,
"Too bad it didn't kill me."
"I'm sure he would have much preferred to have died with his men than be witness to this great tragedy."
Kimmel knew his survival meant he now faced the charge of not being prepared.
Kimmel understands that his career is effectively over and that there was going to be a dark cloud over his head after this attack.
President Franklin D. Roosevelt had been given the news 16 minutes into the attack. Less than 5 months earlier, he'd been elected promising Americans not to go to war.
Yes?
He had just finished lunch, and he got a phone call from the Secretary of the Navy, and Frank Knox told him, "Mr. President, it looks like the Japanese have attacked Pearl Harbor."
The president was shocked and said, "If it's true, it takes the matter entirely out of my hands."
Prime Minister Winston Churchill was dining at Chequers when he heard the news of the attack. Churchill had pleaded with Roosevelt to help Britain defeat Hitler.
Prior to Pearl Harbor, President Roosevelt and Prime Minister Churchill had a very, very close relationship. They'd both worked in the First World War with their respective navies, and they often referred to that. They were also, in many ways, fellow thinkers.
Churchill got through to Roosevelt quite quickly, and Roosevelt told him, "It's true. Pearl Harbor has been attacked. We're all in the same boat now." So Churchill, who'd been desperately wanting American involvement in the war and help in the Pacific, this was a huge relief.
Churchill wrote in his diary,
"So we'd won after all. The United States is like a gigantic boiler. Once the fire is lighted under it, there is no limit to the power it can generate. I went to bed and slept the sleep of the saved and thankful."
Churchill finally had what he wanted from Roosevelt, the support of the American war machine. But over the coming months, it would lead to speculation that the two leaders had conspired to allow Pearl Harbor to happen.
Now, with that reality, with that possibility, let me read you something from Dwight D. Eisenhower back in 1961. This was our president, Dwight. In 1961, he ended his presidential term by warning the nation about the increasing power of the military-industrial complex. He said during a televised farewell address to the American people were particularly significant since Ike had famously served the nation as military commander of the Allied forces during World War II. Eisenhower urged his successors to strike a balance between a strong national defense and diplomacy in dealing with the Soviet Union. He did not suggest arms reduction and, in fact, acknowledged that the bomb was an effective deterrent to nuclear war. However, cognizant that America's peacetime defense policy had changed drastically since his military career, Eisenhower expressed concerns about the growing influence of what he termed the military-industrial complex. So, we're almost ready for a break, but think about the words of Kamala Harris, democracy under assault. Hell yeah, it was under assault. How many of us baby boomers have watched war after war, veterans after veteran coming back with PTSD, wounded in their brain and their bodies, losing limbs year after year, war after war, the Vietnam War causing much drug addiction. And here we are, 2022, and the vice president says that last year it was an assault on democracy. Hell yeah. We were assaulting the wars and all the hypocrisy in this government that's created more war, and no peace. As Naima played the commercial earlier, there was the commercial that came on, "Do you desire to live without war?" I believe last year, January 6th, the hearts of the United States citizens who marched to the Capitol that day, including many U.S. veterans, one who was killed by a security guard, their desire, part of their motivation for marching on that Capitol was to end the military-industrial complex and the hypocrisy and the lies and the deceit and the cheating that was going on in Washington, D.C. Many of us have observed that year after year after year, feeling helpless. And the election that triggered the plans or whatever to march on the Capitol were all about not just that election, but about years and years of industrial military complex ruling and reigning in all over the world, the desire for many of those people to have it stop and end. Kamala never mentioned the fact that many of the people who marched on January 6th last year were United States military veterans. Why would they march on the Capitol? They served their country. They were loyal military participants. Why would they march on the Capitol and protest? And why would she call them extremists? That's the question we're asking tonight. How could this vice president call many veterans and many U.S. citizens extremists? Because they're hypocrites, for one, and because there's been a political agenda ever since the current administration walked into the position. I don't know that they're in the White House. There's stories about that. But they're in the White House to promote the military-industrial complex and to promote a war against our bodies in the form of jabs in the arm, promoted by the pharmaceutical industry big time. So let us go to a commercial. When we come back, we're going to talk about 9/11. And one person, Jesse Ventura, has been very outspoken about the other side of the story. So we're going to hear about the other side of the story and how what Vice President didn't mention, the comparison that we're seeing tonight with those three events. And we'll be right back after these messages. Thank you, Naima Latif.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Sofa Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Vice President made to January 6th and 9/11 and Pearl Harbor, and her words created more division, more attack, more blaming the extremists, and living under elected officials, the pressure, the risk of harming elected officials, and about defending the values of the institution that the Capitol represents. Well, the values that we see tonight are about the unified attempt to continue war in the world, in the earth. And democracy under assault, yes, the democracy is under assault because it has been erased with all the hypocrisy and the funding of congressmen and senators, making them richer and richer and richer. So we want to look at the true history of these events that she's comparing. And we understand now, even Pearl Harbor, there were two sides to that. Our government was in negotiations, if you will, with British about creating another war. And so there's a lot of information coming out that says they allowed Pearl Harbor to happen so they could have a war. How interesting. Now let's look at 9/11, because we have similar events that took place on 9/11 where the government of the United States was promoting war in their cooperation or allowance of events to take place so that money could be made. So let's look at Jesse Ventura's take on 9/11 first. And see what he has to say.
Jesse, what would you have done on September the 12th, 2001? What would you have done if you'd been president?
What would I have done?
Yeah.
I would have done a legitimate investigation to find out what exactly happened on 9/11. How did they know who did this so quickly like they did Lee Harvey Oswald? How quick they knew Lee Harvey Oswald killed Kennedy.
Because the people who did it were identified and we knew who they were.
Well, then why couldn't we have stopped them beforehand if they were identified and we knew who they were?
It was a failure of intelligence. Everyone's accepted.
No, it wasn't. We knew before with Condoleezza Rice's memo on August 6th when it stated right in the memo, Bin Laden to steal planes and run them into buildings. And more stuff is coming out now also how much the Bush administration ignored the intelligence. It was almost like they ignored it because they wanted it to happen.
Oh, come off it, Jesse.
No, not oh, come off it. Wait a minute. Every war thought starts with a false flag operation.
You can't, in all seriousness, sit there and try and make anybody...
Okay, let me ask you this, Piers. Wait a minute. Let me ask you something. How much studying have you actually done of 9/11 other than what the government's told you and what mainstream media has told you?
I was editor of a national newspaper.
I've talked to people
in
minute.
Depth every day for
really?
5-6 months.
Really?
So I know a lot about it.
Let me ask you this
then. You cannot say that any member of the Bush administration knew it was going to happen or wanted it to happen. It's a ridiculous thing to say.
Ridiculous. Okay, let's talk about your BBC. I have a tape of a BBC reporter broadcasting directly back to England talking about a third building has collapsed, World Trade Center Building 7, talks for 7 minutes. All the while she's talking, World Trade Center Building 7 is still standing right behind her. It didn't fall for another half hour, yet they were doing a pre-broadcast back to England
that this building fell
and it hadn't fallen yet.
If you're trying to make out the British Broadcasting Company, one of the most respected news organizations in the world, was inventing huge buildings falling over, you need to have a break, Jesse. We'll come back after the break and we'll talk about Israel and Iran.
Are you kidding me? This is a fact, my friend.
I love the Piers Morgan's, oh, that couldn't possibly happen. The BBC is the most respected broadcasting news agency in the world. And today that's like saying CNN lying, oh, that's the most respected news agency in the world. But you have people who are influenced by the BBC, CNN, NBC, CBS, and there are the people we cannot argue with anymore because not going to go anywhere, it's not going to do any good, because they have been totally influenced by those news organizations, corporations with an agenda. And I'm starting to see, and if you disagree, please press 1 or talk about it, that the agenda is always to promote war. It's like we are now democracy under assault. Yes, we are assault. We want to assault the hell out of the democracy that Kamala Harris talks about, the hypocrisy that they're not promoting war when the last 2 years has all been all about a war on us, a war on our bodies, for goodness sake. And when you tell people, some people, that people are dying from this war on the body, how can you deny that it's not happening when war is always about killing people? Once you come to the realization that we are in a war, then you don't sit around denying like Piers Morgan, oh, that couldn't possibly be happening. Or the BBC is the most respected organization in the media. How could that possibly happen? Let's listen to some other perspectives on 9/11. So that we can be clear as we go forth what the Creator's perspective is.
Now, the image of two passenger planes flying into the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center in New York has been etched indelibly in public memory. Today marks 19 years since the 9/11 terror attacks, when 19 Al-Qaeda militants had hijacked 4 planes. They carried out suicide attacks against certain select targets in the United States. Here's a recap of those events that became the deadliest terror attacks in U.S. history and also went on to change the course of history over the course of the next 2 decades.
It was a usual Tuesday morning. On September 11th, 2001,
are the bustling financial district of Lower Manhattan in New York City. Perhaps the lull before the storm. At 8:46 a.m. Eastern Time, an American Airlines Flight 11 traveling from Boston to Los Angeles strikes the North Star of the World Trade Center in New York City. The impact left a gaping, burning hole near the 80th floor of the 110-story skyscraper, instantly killing hundreds of people and trapping 100 others. TV cameras broadcast live visuals of what seemed like a freak accident at the time. The evacuation of the Twin Towers was underway, and 17 minutes later, at 9:03 a.m. Eastern Time, a second Boeing 767, United Airlines Flight 175, appeared out of the sky and sliced into the South Star near the 60th floor. Following a massive explosion, the collision shot burning debris over surrounding buildings and onto the streets below. It was clear, America was under attack. ...9:37 a.m. Eastern Time. American Airlines Flight 77 circled over downtown Washington, D.C. before crashing into the west side of the Pentagon military headquarters. The Boeing 757 caused a devastating inferno, demolishing a portion of the giant concrete building, which is the headquarters of U.S. Defense. ...9:59 a.m. Eastern Time, South Star of WTC collapses in approximately 10 seconds. At 10:03 a.m. Eastern Time, United Airlines Flight 93, traveling from Newark, New Jersey to San Francisco, crashes in a field near Shanksville, Pennsylvania. 10:28 a.m. Eastern Time. North Star of WTC collapses. The time between the first attack and the collapse of both World Trade Center towers is 102 minutes. The two crashes at the World Trade Center killed 2,753 people. The Pentagon crash led to the death of 184. 40 passengers and crew members died in the Pennsylvania crash, bringing the total of victims to 2,977 that were killed in these four attacks. The attack was orchestrated by Al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden. They were allegedly acting in retaliation for America's support to Israel, its involvement in the Persian Gulf War, and its continued military presence in the Middle East. Everybody go straight to the annual... Bureau Report, we on World is One.
Now, when you listen to that version of the events of 9/11, we get the clean media version, the clear media version of these are the events that happened. Don't doubt it because we're reporting it. And that was probably a foreign a news agency. But we've heard that over and over and over again, those reports that gave us a narrative that was not quite accurate. When you dig deep and with all these years of having an internet and digging deep, lots of people like Jesse Ventura have been researching this, and this is one of the so-called conspiracy theories that came out of the 9/11 narrative.
I know there are going to be some people who are going to write into the show complaining that I'm not debating you to a point where I arm wrestle you down.
Well, I hope not.
Well,
I mean,
you probably beat me at arm wrestling.
Well, I'm 58 years old now. I don't do that, you know. I've been actually out of wrestling, it's hard to believe, for me, 20 years.
Yeah. Well, but let's talk about some of the other things that you want to bring to the sure. public's attention. Privatization seems to be a major concern of yours. What bothers you about it?
A privatization? I like it to a point, but I'm seeing it. Well, one of the things is I'm seeing the military become privatized with mercenaries. We now have more mercenaries deployed overseas in Iraq than we do actual soldiers. Blackwater, things of that nature. I don't like that because they don't...
You are now in the host queue.
...military justice. These are cowboys out there with guns. And like you said, Bremer gave a pass to Blackwater. And they committed some murders over there, out-and-out murders, I believe.
Well, the whole thing accelerated during the Bush years. Have things improved as far as you're concerned now that Barack Obama is in the White House?
Well, not really, because Barack Obama campaigned and said he'd get us out of these wars. And he seems to be escalating them. Granted, he shifted it back to Afghanistan. Well, why wasn't Afghanistan taken care of initially? Well, we got sidetracked into Iraq. And that's what made me question 9/11, because... When I found out Bush was going to go into Iraq, I sat back and thought, wait a minute. These 19 hijackers that they claim hit the World Trade Center, there wasn't one Iraqi among them. Well, to me, that's like Pearl Harbor. If the Japanese attack us at Pearl Harbor, well, then let's go get Korea. After all, they're Asian, too.
Well, there are people who feel that no matter what had happened, we would have wound up going into Iraq because there had already been talk among some of the people in the Bush administration
sure.
before he was elected about going to Iraq.
Yeah, and in fact, the day after 9/11, with all that testimony, remember when they told Richard Clark the very next day, get us Iraq. We want a connection to Iraq. And I've also learned that a lot of the torturing that went on in Guantanamo was they wanted to try to torture guys so they could back up the fact of weapons of mass destruction and ties to Al-Qaeda. They wanted to torture people so they'd admit to that, which, of course, was completely false.
When you were running for governor, did you have the same attitudes about what was going on with government?
Not really. I ran for government. The main issue for me of running at the time was I was actually doing radio, talk radio, and I kind of backed myself in the corner, and you know that if you lose your credibility, you're dead. And
you offered yourself up as a candidate and the people took you seriously?
Well, what happened was this. If you think back to the late 90s, you know, our economy was flourishing. Great. Well, we had budget surpluses where the legislature sets a budget, and because the economy's so powerful and the taxing system was there, they were bringing in multi-millions of dollars more than what they budgeted for. Well, it happened the year before I ran for governor. They spent it, and I was outraged. I said, wait a minute. They had a budget. Live within your budget like everyone else. That money should be returned to the people if you took in too much. So I basically ran on that, and during the great economy, I actually gave back 3 years in a row rebate checks to the people of Minnesota where we reimbursed them for that additional money that the government got.
Well, what were they spending the money on? Usually they're spending it on programs that go to the public, aren't they?
Exactly, but the point is when the economy then suffers and you go into a recession, you're still left with these new programs that they created that now have to be paid for. And what does new programming do? It creates bigger, bigger, and bigger government. I think our government is far too big today. And something worries me, and it just came out again in the USA Today paper, when they tell you an employee for the federal government makes more money on average than a person in the private sector, something is gravely wrong with that. When a government employee can make more money than the private sector, because let's remember, it's the private sector that supports the government.
Now, that conversation took place many years ago, but it's nothing new to many of us that something is gravely wrong with a system where the government employees make more money than the average citizen, and they can become millionaires. When you hear the vice president talking about an assault on democracy under assault, and the values of our government were under attack and defense, hell yeah, they're under attack. What are you talking about? That's where my point of view has been, is like, yeah, we want peace in the world. We want to live without war, but this war machine keeps pushing forward and forward,
And interestingly enough, I thought about it just tonight, that the war on the individual human being in the earth, in America, is now in the form of a jab in the arm. We ain't our government's not dropping bombs on their citizens. They're putting chemicals in the body that are killing people. So we have, I think we have a comment from our executive producer. So my perspective is just my perspective, and I'm waiting for others to comment, because this is a three-way conversation. The Creator speaks, we speak, you speak, and hopefully we can come to some conclusion. As Brother Eddie Harris stated earlier, that there's a bunch of hypocrites in Washington, D.C., and they're distracting us this week alone with their analysis of three events that all point to, in my opinion, the war, the industrial military complex. And as Jesse Ventura just stated, this government has gotten too damn big. And, yeah, the citizens better rise up and say something and do whatever they feel they need to do to bring it to their attention that we have had enough. We're sick and tired of this industrial military complex running amok, and we want to see less money being paid to our federal government employees like congressmen and more money going out to the people and bringing peace. How about a peace fund? Instead of paying these government officials more money, how about we create a peace fund to promote peace? And that's exactly what the Female Solution is, has a slogan, peace, pushing for peace. That's what we need. And that's why Kamala Harris is a hypocrite and brought a distraction to the, again, to the American people and the world, talking, comparing these three events, when really, when you bring these three events together, it's all about war machine out of control, war machine out of control. But she makes it sound like the extremists, the veterans, the U.S. citizens who marched on the Capitol because of their anger and bitterness and frustration about this government. So let me open up the mic for our, I believe it's our executive producer, Naima Latif. Welcome. And you have a comment for us. Check your mic. Are you on mute?
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay, great. Sorry. Yeah, I was on mute. Sorry. Yes, so I know it's difficult for people to hear things that would indicate a government could actually conspire and let a lot of people get killed for the sake of going to war and making money, just like it's hard to hear that, you know, government could conspire and let a lot of people die in order to make money, you know, on a medical procedure. You know, it's all kinds of things. It's difficult for people to comprehend this. But have you ever been in a marriage and maybe you found out after years of being in this relationship that the person that you were married to had another family that they didn't tell you about, and a whole life with someone else they didn't tell you about, and then you found out later, you know, and maybe you were devastated at the feeling of betrayal. Well, you know, it's kind of the same thing. People don't tell you the truth if it's in their best interest for you to believe something else. And I think the biggest challenge that people are going to have, because eventually they will come to know these things we've been saying, that the biggest challenge they'll have is accepting the betrayal, because they were so sure that what they were told was the truth. And the hardest thing is realizing that you have been misled by people who didn't care about you and basically just used you. And it's like a relationship in which someone maybe used you for your money or status or whatever, but really they were having a relationship with someone else. And you can't believe it when you first find it out, and you're hurt and distraught and everything. And then finally it dawns on you that they didn't care about you. And you're devastated. Well, that's how people are going to feel. Those who have really been believing everything they've been hearing, that's how they're going to feel when they discover that they've been used in order to make other people wealthy, and that it wasn't, their lives didn't matter. And that's what's going to hurt people do when they don't really see you as a person. So, yeah, could a government, you know ahead of time that an act was going to take place, and even behind the scenes maybe even be encouraging it? Well, yeah, if there's a financial benefit. I mean, could a government conspire to allow many people to die? Well, yeah, there's an economic benefit behind it. So it's hard to understand, but that people have different levels of ethics, and some people don't care if people they don't know die. And this is what we have to be mature enough to understand. You know, people aren't crazy on all these conspiracy theorists. No, it's not a conspiracy. There are those who understand exactly what's happening, and they realize that there are people who don't care about them. And because they understand that, they can accept the truth, even though the truth might be painful and it might hurt and it might be shocking, but that is what is happening. So there are those who know now, and there are those who are going to find out later, and there are those who will never accept it, even though it's obvious, and those are going to be the staunch ones that keep holding on, even though it's obvious that they have been duped and lied to and deceived and misused. And it's unfortunate, but, you know, for those of us who know right now what's happening, well, you know, we can do our best to tell people and show them, but ultimately not get frustrated if they still can't believe it. So that's just how it is. But eventually, everyone will know, and it'll be really hard for some people to deal with. Some people will literally nearly go insane because they just can't believe that those that they trusted so much betrayed them, but they did. So thank you for sharing this information.
Well, that, you know, that's a great analysis, because imagine, Naima, if instead of reacting to these United States citizens, which included veterans of many military wars, instead of reacting by seeking out and arresting people, putting them in jail, some people are still in jail for the events of last year. Instead of reacting that way, what if the people supposedly serving us in the government had said, you know, something's really wrong that our citizens would protest in this fashion to the Capitol after an election? There's something really wrong. Let's try and figure out what is wrong. What are we doing wrong that our citizens are responding in this way? Did they do that early in the years, the last 2 years, when people were burning down buildings, catching buildings on fire because they were upset about things? I mean, we had practically a whole year of Black Lives Matter, burning things down, looting, videos playing with people going in, looting out buildings. Did they go on a search to find these people and put them in jail? No. So we know the political motivation behind this whole drama that's playing out. And one of these days, as we have talked about, we're pushing for the peace of our government, realizing that they need to respect the citizens more instead of filling their pockets from lobbyists and ignoring the cry of the people that we need a change. We need a change. I think that was the most important thing. Not that they were extremists attacking the Capitol, but these were citizens of the United States, especially veterans. I know so many veterans were involved in that protest that were sick and tired of the deceit and the lies and the military complex killing their brothers and sisters. Instead, they reacted with more distraction, more lies, more deceit. And so here we are
in the same situation. Year three of the war on our bodies, where they told us almost three years ago, oh, it's only going to take 2 weeks to flatten the curve, and, oh, it's only going to take 5 days to slow the spread. And here we are, almost three years into this, and the vice president stands up and calls the United States citizens extremists. This is such an insult to the people of this country that, hello, hello, this is a wake-up call tonight.
Well, you know, I know we got to go to break, but, you know, I think that the best way for the people to not be manipulated is to talk to each other. You know, John always talks about nonviolent communication, and when you have two sides or what appears to be two sides actually sit down and listen to each other, then you can determine whereat you might really be saying the same things. And I think that's the case here. We've allowed ourselves to get divided into Republican and Democrat and conservative and liberal and all these labels, when people really just don't want to be lied to, they don't want to be misused, they don't want to be manipulated, and they don't want to be used in order to serve someone else's profit-making schemes, that everybody feels that way. Now, however they see an issue, they might see the same issue differently, but at the core, everybody wants the same thing, and that is honesty in the leadership and not schemes and not manipulation. And, you know, veterans definitely feel deeply, because many of them, they're told one thing and then they go overseas and they find out it's a totally different situation than what they were told that revved them up to go and kill some people. And so they feel the betrayal. It's like, you told me these people are so-and-so-and-so-and-so, and I get over here, that's not what's happening at all. You know, and you got me killing these people, and that's not even what's happening here. So, yeah, a lot of veterans are feeling betrayed and angry and confused. Yeah. So
sleeping out on the street. A lot of veterans homeless.
Yeah. I mean, they give their lives, and then they come back and get ignored and can't even get the emotional and psychological help that they need. And so there's a lot of anger, and that's why I think if we talk to each other and not label each other and actually listen to each other, we can find out everybody really wants the same thing. And then we can create peace, because we're not allowing ourselves to be manipulated into turning on each other, so that we don't see the sleight of hand that's happening behind our back that's causing us to make decisions against our own interests.
Absolutely. So I know we need to go to a break. So thank you, Naima. Naima's going to take us into a break, and we'll be right back with a higher perspective on these three events.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Hi, I'm Jody Susan with Susan Essentials. I started Susan Essentials in 2015 because of a personal health journey. I was over-medicated and put on 19 different medications. And yes, I reversed all my chronic diseases using plant and energy-based healing. It was amazing. At Tucson Essentials, we support both consumers and businesses, and we do that with helping your employees or yourself with a food as medicine mindset. How Tucson Essentials supports businesses and consumers is we teach people about a food as medicine mindset. So we support people on how to support their own immune system, how to support their brain health, how to support their emotional well-being, and we do that all with plant and an energy-based healing.
This is Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, spiritual counselor and advisor. I invite you to a private reading in the areas of business, health, finances, relationships. My introductory cost of $20. Please call because there is a higher power that can help me help you. 312-802-4743. Peace and blessings to you all. Call me. 312-802-4743.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Cell Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
let us take a deep breath together. Breathe in truth, love, compassion, wisdom. Exhale lies, deceit, hypocrisy. Breathe in truth, love, compassion, wisdom. Breathe out lies, deceit, hypocrisy. Breathe in truth, love, compassion, wisdom. Hold it in, hold it in, hold it in. Let it be your life, your story, your journey. So if you're just joining us, we've been hearing from a little history of the events that were mentioned this week by our vice president, 9/11, Pearl Harbor, and of course, remembering January 6th, the United States citizens who protested at the Capitol on a day of supposedly swearing in a new president for this country. And those citizens included military veterans. We've been talking about military veterans were in that group of citizens who were feeling betrayed, citizens who were feeling betrayed because of the hypocrisy and the lies and the deceit, mainly from the wars of 9/11, the war of Pearl Harbor. So let us not forget, we went into a war because of the lies around 9/11. We ended up in the Iraq war where thousands of citizens now have PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, because our government lied to us. Our government was deceitful, and our government pushed an agenda of making money with the industrial military complex. And I thought about Private First Class Lavina Lynn Johnson. This story came to me several years ago about Private First Class Lavina Lynn Johnson, who has my middle name is Lynn and Johnson is my maiden name. So I paid attention to this story because the name got my attention. Lynn Johnson, me, Lynn, and my Johnson, my maiden name. She was murdered in Iraq by a Blackwater employee. It's the investigation, which took many years by her family to find out she was murdered as a veteran over there in Iraq in a tent. And one of the Blackwater employees was actually probably raped her. Or anyway, it was a horrific event that took place with Private First Class Lavina Lynn Johnson. Her family, I think, to this day is still trying to get the military of America, the United States Army, to admit to what happened and to compensate and to get to the root of what happened to her. They're angry, they're bitter, and feeling betrayed again because we have contractors, as it was mentioned by the person I played earlier, how we have privatized. We have privatized. Jesse Ventura mentioned how we have privatized the military by hiring contractors, military contractors, to go over into this war situation and make lots of money. These Blackwater was actually a subsidiary of one of Dick Cheney's corporations. Dick Cheney, remember Darth Vader. So Dick Cheney, Blackwater, all these privatized organizations now have expanded the military, as President Eisenhower warned about, not letting this industrial military complex get out of hand. And that's what happened. Private First Class Lavina Lynn Johnson lost her life because of all this expansion of private corporations like Blackwater being hired to work in the Iraq war environment and then creating more killing, more death by their evil behavior. So that prayer is really about when we come to an awareness that we want peace, what can we do about it? Are there things we can change? Well, the Creator is looking down on all these events and welcoming souls back who played a role, like Private First Class Lavina Lynn Johnson, to wake us up to the evil and the manipulation and the lies and the deceit and the betrayal to our citizens who go over to fight in these wars
and then come back and they can't even function because they have PTSD. So today we are taking a higher perspective on January 6th, 9/11, Pearl Harbor, because we're at a very important point of our history in third dimension transition, the fourth, fifth dimension, where we don't have to blame so much as wake up and realize we need to change things. Things need to be changed. And that, to me, is why hundreds of people protested last year on January 6th to say we need a change in this country. We need a change in our government. You hypocrites have been in there long enough and becoming millionaires, and we need a change. And it's time for us to respond to not only people like that with help and talking to one another, encouraging one another, talk to your senator, talk to your, but more than I think talking to these people, we need to wipe these people out. In fact, I heard, I'm going to open up the mic. They press one and they, okay, open up the mic to 773-487. More than talking to our senators and Congress people, I heard a Catholic friar did a video on. He said the only solution to this madness we're in for the last 2-3 years is to arrest the criminals. I'm at that place. I totally agree. We need to be arresting the criminals, and we all know who the criminals are, the ones promoting this jab to kill people. It is like it's genocide now. But if you learned anything in the last 3 years, you might understand this is genocide. This is not, we want to take care of your health. We want to flatten the curve. We want to slow the spread. No. This is genocide, folks. So let's get the truth out. Let's promote the truth. Let's be the truth. And let's, as the prayer said, change what you can change. And that's, first of all, changing yourself. Do not comply. Stop complying with these criminals. These are criminals we're dealing with. So let me open up the mic, 773-487. Your mic's open. Welcome.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Is this Koofy?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
You know, you don't battle, if you fall for the okey-doke, yeah, you're going to have issues with these people. But, don't give them your energy. And, at the end of the day, they know they're doing wrong. But guess who gave them the approval? Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening. Go ahead. Guess who gave them the approval? We
did.
We complied. Yes, we've complied. We went along with 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Okay, we'll lock down. And we went along with 15 days to slow the spread. Oh, okay, we'll do that. Here we are 3 years later, and you need a booster. So how long are you going to keep complying with your bullshit?
Well, I never complied. And
I'm not talking to you personally. I'm just saying what the general atmosphere is, the deceit and the hypocrisy of this whole thing. Go ahead.
Well, to love thy neighbor, you defeat everything they're doing. They want to control the world, and they've had it for a time. These are the Freemasons of the world who are a part of this, and Freemasons are their colors. And I see what they're doing, But God says, be in the world, but not what? None of it. So
That's right.
That's why I'm protective. My daughter's like, they're being phony. There's something going wrong. You get it. A lot of people get it. And if you lose your job or you lose your business, then return back to the earth, start growing your food, do like everybody else doing. Tiny homes and homesteading, if you need to. But it's only going to go on longer if we comply. You understand? That's, it's not really up to us, collective base. If we say, stop, let's do something else. You made your money. You got the juicy juice all over. Let's do something else. And we as citizens, we dictate the narrative. I'm sorry to say that. They tried to hijack our collective narrative, collective body. They couldn't do it because we're still here. You're talking about using lime juice to alkalize your body. And when you alkalize your body, guess what? No disease can live in your body.
That's right. That's right. That's what the change we can make. Help me to make the change I can make. It starts with us and our body, healthy bodies, minds, and souls. You're right. Yeah. So thank you.
And that's what we're sharing. That's what we're sharing. We can keep that going. Higher frequency. Because the at the end of the day, the enemy shall become your what? Your footstool, right?
Yeah.
Guess how that happens.
Yeah. Unmuted.
You pray for the enemy.
Yeah, and we got to come together as a global family. That right now in Kazakhstan, I don't know how many of you have heard this or know, Kazakhstan is in the middle of Central Asia. It's in Central Asia. They have shut down their internet. People are protesting like crazy. People are protesting all over Kazakhstan. The media is trying to say, oh, it's because of high gas prices. That's a lie. People are protesting because of the same reason other people are protesting. Government has overreached their authority. And so
We've already used the internet. The internet, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, they're all governmental control. And they put Mark Zuckerberg, Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, they put them as Facebook pictures, okay? I've been on Facebook for 15 years. I'm detoxing now for 30 days. And my business is going skyrocketing because I returned back to the local. My business,
right,
I get some business with Indian people. You know, because I connect with Indian people. And so we're on a one frequency of just working and gathering with each other. So we've done it. If you didn't get it, I'm sorry. So detox off the internet. You don't need it.
Right. So thank you. We're going to have to go now. Naima Latif is going to play our thank you ending. But thank you, Kufi, for reminding us of the choices we can make and the changes we can make to improve the situation. And that's what we really need to think about is what changes can we make to that we see ourselves in where we're surrounded by governments that are tyrants now and trying to control. And the thing is, the longer we comply, the longer this twilight zone's going to go on. And the Creator knows what the truth is. And that's why we need to be meditating and plugging into the truth of our Creator. Because we're not going to get it from our government. I hope from this show, if nothing else you learn, our government is not being honest. Whether January 6th, 9/11, Pearl Harbor, we have a totally dishonest government, deceitful, a bunch of hypocrites running the government. And so it's up to us, the people, to take back our power and do what we know is right and talk to our neighbors, get families, and do what we know is right. So I want to thank you all for being with us tonight and hope you share this message with others that January 6th was about United States citizens being frustrated and feeling betrayed by a government that is indeed not promoting the values of our Creator, which are love, compassion, and wisdom. So thank you for joining me. Everybody have a good week, and don't forget Monday morning mindfulness, Unplugged, the Untold Story of Chicago Gospel Music Fest with Queen Mother Sasha tomorrow morning at 7 Central and 8 Eastern. So I'm going to say farewell, and I don't see Naima Latif's mic is open, but I don't see her. Let's see if she's, I don't see her playing any music, so we're going to just go out with some Born of Water. Let's see. Born of Water from my phone. Or no, the ending from my phone. Let's see. Here we go. Our thank you ending. All right.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archive at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website.
Okay, I don't know what happened.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China,
xie xie.
India, zanyaba. Japan, arigato. Korea, kamsahamnida.
Kamsahamnida.
Spasiba.
Germany. Danke.
Danke.
Poland. Jean Cunyon. Jean
Cunyon. France. Merci.
Merci beaucoup.
Spain.
Gracias.
Gracias. Italy. Grazie.
Grazie.
Egypt. Shukran.
Shukran.
Ghana. Madasi.
Madasi.
Nigeria. Eshe.
Eshe.
Africa.
Niabonga.
Senegal.
Get it.
Kenya.
Asante.
Israel. Toda.
Toda. Baba.
Shukriyan.
Shukriyan.
Afghanistan.
Tashakur.
Saudi Arabia. Shukran.
Shukran.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Hallelujah. Shalom.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Yes, my name is Eve. Good, how are you? Yes, what's happening? Excellent. Well, happy New Year to you. Well, this week it's kind of hard to tell. I gotta. I see.
Great.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show.
You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimahlatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyabat. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, geret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.